How many people have your Bibles this morning? If you have your Bible, stand up and raise it above your head. Isn't that a beautiful sight? Look around. You also have the freedom to carry that Bible into this place today, right? That's a huge praise. You may be seated. There are two places I would like for you to turn today. One is the book of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10. The other is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. John 10, Deuteronomy 28. When you find your places, if you could just say, I have it. John 10, Deuteronomy 28. It's New Testament, Old Testament. Today I want to talk to you about the subject of knowing God's voice. I want you to say that with me. One more time. Tell the person beside of you what we're going to talk about. All right, so it should stick in your memory. And I want you to see how substantial this is. I believe, actually, if we can grasp this while we're in here and we can leave here with an understanding of knowing the importance of knowing God's voice, it'll change your life completely. It'll change your walk with God, and it will change the blessings that you receive from God. It'll change your everyday relationship with God, just knowing God's voice. And you might say, okay, all right, that's one of those things you might think it is. Okay, well, I do. I do think it is something that will do that, but I'll ask you by the time that you leave, after you hear God's word, because I want you to understand one thing clearly that the scripture will show us today, that God wants you unequivocally to know his voice. Better than any other voice, he wants you to know his voice. Now, I ask you to turn to John chapter 10. I want to read to you one verse of scripture, verse 27 in John chapter 10. I want you to listen. This is Jesus, and understand, Jesus was giving a sermon, a lesson here, and he was putting himself as the shepherd. And then all those that accepted his death, burial, and resurrection, all those that believed in him, he were classifying them as the sheep. So shepherd talking to sheep, but he's making this statement. Listen, John 10, 27. My sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So say that with me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So Jesus is talking about, yes, his voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. That's personal, isn't it? His sheep know his voice. Now, we read in Deuteronomy, earlier in the 13th chapter, verse 4, God told them, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. So again, Old Testament, he's saying, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. Now, I ask you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want you to listen, because I don't think we understand the gravity, how big this is in being able to recognize or know God's voice. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is verse 1 and 2. And it shall come to pass. Now understand, let me set the scene. Moses is getting ready to die. And God's speaking to Moses, to him and through him. He's going to speak to the children of Israel. They've come through the Red Sea. They've been in the desert. He's getting ready to turn the control over to Joshua. Moses is getting ready to die. And God speaks to them and says this, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, a couple of interesting things here that I want you to see before we roll it together. Number one, don't forget, God has promised his blessings in this. He's talking to Israel. He's saying, if you do this, I'm promising you my blessings. Anybody in here interested in the blessings of God? Anybody? All right, I think we are, right? So understand, he is addressing them and he's saying, the Lord thy God. So they are worshiping God. They are believing God. So this applies to them as well as to us. How many people in here believe in God? How many people worship him as the only God? How many people have accepted his gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, right? So you worship him. So let's let this speak to us. He's saying, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, Then we get the blessings. Now, hearken's an old word, old English word, King James word. You say, well, yeah, my Bible doesn't have it. I hate that for you, because I want to explain hearken to you. Hearken means to hear, to listen, and to obey. We only say that word when we begin to sing Christmas song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and we know that. But hearken is a threefold word. It means to hear, to listen, and obey, not just hear. You know, I can remember growing up, there was a phrase that my parents would say, and it became a phrase that I would say, and maybe you've said it before, but when I would tell my children to do something, or my parents would tell me to do something, and it didn't get done, then I can remember saying, did you hear what I said? Or they would say to me, did you hear me? Has anybody here ever asked that question? Did you hear me? Now, of course I heard them. I was 3 feet away from them. They knew I heard them. They weren't really asking me if I heard them. They were saying, why aren't you hearkening to me? What does that mean? You're not listening. You're not obeying. You're hearing me, but there's difference in listening and hearing, right? If you just hear and don't listen, the person that told you something pretty much wasted their words, right? So hearken has a pretty big significance here. I mean, just like in the book of Revelation, if you read the book of Revelation, we're studying the seven churches in the book of Revelation, in chapter 2 and 3. And at the end of every letter, Jesus says to them, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He says, anyone who is able to hear, hearken. That means hear, listen, and obey. So I want to make sure we're on the same page. How many people here believe that when God tells us something, we need to not only hear it, but we need to hear it, listen, and obey? Do you think we need to hearken? If you do, say amen. Amen. Then I'll know we're on the same page, right? Now, all through the Bible, we can clearly see that God wants us to listen to His voice, not just hear it. And we see that He's speaking to people that are worshiping Him as their God. Now, God was speaking in Deuteronomy. Jesus was speaking in John. And if you read John, the whole context of what he's saying, go back to John 10. Listen to Jesus speak. He has the same message. And I want you to understand something about John 10. John 10 may not be what we think it is. All these years I've heard John 10 preached in a way. It's about the shepherd and the sheep. It's about the shepherd and the sheep. Well, the shepherd and the sheep are characters in John 10. But I'm going to tell you, John 10 is about something bigger, about something that we're talking about today. I want you to write in your margin about what John 10 is about. John 10 is about the voice of the shepherd. The voice of the shepherd. You know, he's not just describing sheep and shepherd. When we read this, listen to the picture of Jesus the shepherd calling his sheep out. And then listen to the picture of the other person that comes in, the stranger that calls the sheep out. And listen to the one he says they will follow. Remember what he said in verse 27, my sheep, they hear my voice and I know them. Are you a sheep this morning? Well, let's see. Now listen to John 10. This is verses 1 through 10. It's about the voice of the shepherd. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Who's the shepherd of the sheep? Somebody tell me. Jesus is, right? To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, underline voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. That's what you do with a voice, right? You call. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Listen, here it is again. For they know what? Tell me again. They know what? Now listen to this. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spoke Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which spoke to them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Let me tell you, this parable, this story, is about the voice of the shepherd. Jesus identifies himself as the shepherd in verse 27. And he identifies the sheep as those that listen to his voice. Now, it's a pretty simple criteria, but I don't think we give enough credit to it. How do I know that I'm one of his sheep? Well, it should be clear. I would be the one that's listening to him, that's following him. And how would I know that I'm a sheep? His voice is the one that I'm choosing to follow. His voice is the one that I can hear clearly, and the stranger's voice I am not following. Now, do you know that if you're truly a sheep of Jesus, then you can hear the voice of Jesus? Does that make sense? That's basically what he's saying. If you're truly a sheep, you can hear his voice. Jesus speaks on behalf of God. He's leading you. He's directing you. That's what shepherds do. Now, let me ask some questions, and these are just practical questions, and the Lord had directed me to this specific topic, and I guess it comes from just the experience of getting to talk to a lot of people, and I'll hear people that they're wanting to maybe end a marriage, and they'll tell me that they feel like God's leading them to. And I hear people that are clearly involved in sin, and they say, well, I've talked to God about it, or I'm praying. And then I look at the state of our nation, laws that are being passed, and I see things where people stand up on behalf of some kind of theme they're trying to support that God clearly calls wrong and says, well, God says you can do this, and God says you can do that. And I think our biggest issue that we need to address today is I think a lot of people don't know the voice of God. They don't know the voice of God because you can't say some of the things they're saying are right and look and see what God says and say those voices match. Would you agree? And as far as me and you, some of the things that we do, calling ourselves sheep, some of the things that we fail to do, who do you think we're listening to? Would we be taking direction from Jesus the shepherd? Well, I can say there's a lot of times I hadn't listened. What about you? If I'm a sheep, and that's what clearly identifies me. So these questions that we have in everyday life, what should I do about this situation in my life? I've got a situation. Has anybody been in a situation in the past week? Of course we have, right? Dilemma, turmoil, problem. What should I do about this situation? Maybe another question. Should I take this job, or is it something that's going to hurt me or maybe my marriage or maybe my walk with God? Is there something better that's going to come along? Should I take this job? That's a real question, right? How many people have been in that position? Yeah. Maybe you're in a position, should I enter into this relationship? No matter what age you are, you have a relationship you're going to enter into, and you're questioning, should I enter in? Should I start this relationship? It could be with boyfriend, girlfriend, it could be friend, it could be coworker, it could be any kind of group you're part of. Should I enter this relationship? Maybe the question is, should I stay in this relationship or not? Maybe you're involved in a relationship with somebody that you've dated, or maybe it's just a friend of yours and you realize there's different things, and so you have a question in your mind, should I stay in this relationship? Maybe it's physical possessions, material things. Should I buy this house? Should I buy this car? Now, are those real things that we think about? All of them are. Now, how many people here can honestly say that you know the right answer to every one of those questions? We do not. None of us know not 1 minute ahead, 1 hour ahead. At best, we are making a logical guess based on our logic and maybe the research or facts we've done. But at best, you're taking a logical guess. So I would need to hear a voice that knew what to do, wouldn't you? Okay. Now there's other times where we have decisions to make. Simple times. Let's take the spiritual side of it. Should I go to church today or tonight or not? Well, let me see. Let me check my calendar. Let me see if there's nothing else that I can do. Now, I've got a voice inside of my head that tells me, well, you've got this, and this is going on. This is going on. Then maybe we say, should I join this particular church or not? Or should I leave this particular church or not? Well, you've got a voice inside of your head. It's always going to give you different reasons. Maybe you're in a position to where you're asking yourself, is this an area that I need to serve in or an area that I don't need to serve in? That's the spiritual side. Now, if you're a sheep and you know God's voice, would God ever tell you, oh no, now this is something that you need to do instead of coming and hearing about me, praying to me, and worshiping me? Can you see God saying that? Then how is it that other voice wins out so many times? I'm going to get where you live, right? How is it that we can convince ourselves that we can't really serve in that particular position when God gave us the ability to serve in a position? You think it's God's voice telling us not to? No, so we'll get to the bottom of it today. Now, what about this? Is there something in my life that I'm not doing that I should be doing? Now, we face that decision all the time, right? Something I'm not doing that I should be doing. Now, you'd need to hear the answer to that question. All these are questions. Who could answer that? Maybe the question is this: is there something in my life that I'm doing that I should not do? That means you're doing it, but you shouldn't do it. All these questions are valid. How many people have asked yourself one or more of these questions this week? Good. Now, who can answer all these questions accurately? Nobody can. None of us can. Most times we think we can. We know what's best for us, but unfortunately none of us can predict the next day or hour or time. The best we can do is make this calculated logical guess, but we really need these questions answered. All these questions we need answered, because the answers to these questions are going to determine our direction in life. They're going to determine if we're doing what we need to be doing or what we're supposed to be doing on an everyday basis. They're going to determine our peace. How many times have you been hung up in a decision that you needed to make, and because you didn't make it, you didn't have any peace? Has anybody ever had that? I think so many times we guess our way through life, and then whenever we do hit it right, then it's like, well, hey, put me in the wise category because I made the right decision. Like it was something that we knew was going to happen. I mean, who's believing that? Nobody even knew you were going to live the next day. It was a guess. You know, I think we go through life without these answers that we can answer ourselves, and we find ourselves guessing through life, struggling through life, going down the wrong path for days and months or years because we chose the wrong answer based on what we thought. Can everybody relate to that? You can. You've taken the wrong path based on your wrong answer, based on something you thought, right? You answered your own question. So, of course, we're in church today. We're listening to a church sermon. You can probably guess where I'm going to tell you that you can have these questions answered. You've already heard the scripture I've read. There's only one person who can give you the right answer to all these questions. Who is it? God's the only one that can give us these answers, right? Jesus told us, and Jesus is God the Son. So we have to go to God for these answers. Of course it's God. So if we stop right here, the sermon is over, you would leave today and you would say, I knew that already. Preacher, I read the Bible. I know. I mean, who's got all the answers? God's got all the answers. Good sermon. Thank you. But you see, I don't think that we struggle with knowing that God can answer these questions. I think everybody in here that's a believer knew God could answer these questions, right? Did you know that? You didn't learn anything new. How many people knew God could answer all these questions before we went through all this? You knew it, right? We don't struggle with that. I think we struggle with actually hearing what God's answer is. Anybody? I think we struggle with clearly identifying the voice of God. I think we struggle with hearing His answer, knowing that it is clearly the voice of God so that we can know that we must obey. If God wants you to obey Him, of course, you would need to recognize His voice, right? And I think we don't go there. We don't scratch the surface any deeper. We just say, hey, I'm a Christian. I know you're supposed to do what God says you're supposed to do. Okay? It's a little more complicated than that. How do you know that it's God leading you or telling you to do it? What about His voice? His voice will be completely different. And in the next several weeks, I want to talk about knowing God's voice. But today, I want us to see how the need is there. I think one of the biggest problems in our everyday walk with God, in our church life, in our community life, in our country, is that people are not familiar with God's voice. And I want to be able to point out through God's Word, not my theory, but through God's Word, the importance of this and how you can know what God's voice is. Anybody interested? Good. So today I want us to talk about knowing God's voice. After all, if we heard God's voice the way that Moses heard God's voice, it would be different. Moses, take off your shoes. This is the Lord thy God, right? Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. What would we do? Hey, let me get them untied, right? That was the voice of God that spoke to us. Do you think Moses had any problem taking his sandals off? No. Now, do you think we would have any problem if God spoke to us like this? Mike, that was a bad thought. Sorry, God. But I don't get that voice, that audible voice. Do you? No. But is He still speaking? Yeah. You see, Moses stood at this burning bush and God said, Moses, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. This is God speaking. If we heard this voice, well, then we wouldn't have a problem with knowing God's voice. But we don't hear that voice. God speaks to us in other ways. These other ways are just as powerful. You see, we need to know that, first of all, God wants to talk to us. Do you know that God wants to talk to you? Do you know that Jesus wants to lead you? He wants to tell you the answers to our questions. He wants to help us make the right decisions. He wants to give us the right answers. He wants to bless us. So He wants us to listen. But the problem is, well, it's just His voice. Which one is His voice? So we read in Deuteronomy that God said, hearken. That means listen and obey my voice. And then we read in John, Jesus says, if you're my sheep, you will know my voice. So we have God's voice in the Old Testament. We have Jesus' voice. And we see that we need to know that God speaks to us now. Well, is it God's voice we hear? Is it Jesus' voice that we hear? I want you to see that God gives every person the ability to hear His voice. And Jesus was that voice of God that spoke to man while He walked on this earth. But when Jesus was preparing to go back to heaven, you were in John 10. Switch over to John 14, just a couple of pages over. Listen to what He said. He told them, and He tells us, that if we love Him and believe in Him and accept His salvation, that He and God the Father will come into us and make their abode with us. Now listen, before you read this, the abode means their dwelling place. That means God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Now, God the Father, He can't indwell me. Not God the Father, as big as God the Father is. And Jesus Christ that walked up that hill of Calvary, that physical man, He can't come into me. So He wants to be in Him, in me, Him and the Father. So the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, comes into me when I accept that God is who He says He is, Jesus is who He says He is, and I repent of my sins, and I say, God, I want to get to You. God says, well then, Mike, you need to believe. You need to believe that my Son died for you, that you're a sinner. The only way you can get to me is to accept the salvation that He offers you. He died on the cross as a sacrifice for your sins. If you believe that and you want to own that, then you have to repent to Him, confess to Him that you're a sinner, and He will indwell you, and I will indwell you in the form of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that cool? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, John chapter 14, Jesus describes this. Listen to what He says as we read verse 23. John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we. How about that? Do you see that? We. Circle we. We will come into him. Who is Jesus talking about? We will come into him, and will make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So he's saying, if you love me, you'll listen to me. The one that's not listening to me doesn't really love me. Then Jesus said, not that I'm saying, this is my Father's word. So Jesus is speaking on behalf of God. This is really His voice in John 11. He's speaking to them, but He's telling them, hey, God the Father, me, God the Son, we want to come into you. We want to come into you, and here's how He's going to do it. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, being present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How about that? So God the Father, God the Son want to indwell you and me. After you accept Jesus as your Savior, He does this and you're indwelled by God the Holy Spirit. Then you have the voice of God inside of you. How cool is that, right? I need the voice of God inside of me. Do you? Yes. As you heard my son, listen to me. Understand, I'm not always going to be around him. I would rather him know the voice of God than know my voice. But here's how I hedge my bets. I teach him God's voice by letting me represent God's voice in my home. Do you hear that, dads? You're supposed to speak on behalf of God so your child will know God's voice. You're supposed to have them in church where they're learning what God said is right and God said is wrong. And then once they learn that and they accept Him and the Holy Spirit is in their heart, then that voice inside of me, well, it wants to tell me all kind of different things, but there's that voice, the Holy Spirit, that travels with me wherever I go. And as a parent, I've learned, you know, I think, okay, it was great. I have my kids and they're little, even though we say it's tough and I've got this kid here and this kid here. Oh, it's just a hard time. Let me tell you what's hard. When they leave your driveway. When they're not hanging on your belt loop. When they're not sick where you can take care of them or you even know it. What's hard is when you can't get to them and you sit and think, are they okay? I wish this would happen. I wish that would happen. It's hands off. You better hope they have a voice speaking to them then. That's the voice you want with them. There can be distance between your voice and theirs. They should hear your voice representing God's voice. Okay, so we understand what a great gift this is, the Holy Spirit. It's the voice of God inside of us. Then if you read John 16, a couple of pages over, listen to what it says, verse 13 through 15. It's basically saying that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. That means it's going to give us the answers and that the Holy Spirit will speak on behalf of God and the Father and the Son. And then he says that he will show us what God wants us to see. You see, the Holy Spirit is the voice of God. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ to get to God, well, you can't have that voice of God. You can still hear the voice of God. That voice of God will always call you to him. And even someone who's not saved, do you know that they'll still hear the voice of God? You're born with it. Your moral conscience, you're born with it. When that little kid hits that other kid over the head with a truck and takes his toy, he doesn't go and announce it to you. He goes and hides, right? He knows he did something wrong. When somebody steals something, they hide, right? Because it's wrong. It's a moral conscience. And I think the devil's agenda is to try to sort of rework that moral conscience in everyone, but we'll get to that. John 16, 13 through 15 Jesus says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you all things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore I said, he shall take them and shall show it unto you." Do you hear that? Show it unto you. Show it unto you. He gives us the voice of the Holy Spirit to show us the answers, to give us the direction, to lead us and guide us. That's the voice of God. Okay. So, how many people realize the voice of God is in you? That close. Ready to speak. If you do, raise your hand. I want to see. You realize that. You say, "I've learned nothing new." Well, then let's pose this question. Why do we continually make the wrong decisions and find ourselves struggling if we have the voice of God that close to us? Why? I believe the answer is because we don't listen to God and obey God and then act upon what he says to do. And you say, "Well, duh, I know that's right." We sin when we don't do what God says we're supposed to do. But listen, I think it's deeper than that. I believe the biggest reason that we fail to listen and obey God is because we fail to identify his voice. After all, if we heard God speaking to us in a loud, audible voice saying, "Do this," or "Don't do this," I would like to think that we would listen. Would you listen? I would. But I don't hear it that way. So, question for you. How many of you think truly we should do what God says we're supposed to do? Pretty easy question. How many of you think that? We should do what God says we're supposed to do. He said in James 4:17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's sin." So if we all know we're supposed to do it, I think we accept this. And I think we preach this. This is our sermon. This is our standard sermon. This is what we teach kids. This is what we grow up preaching. Do what God says to do. Right? But we don't preach enough about knowing it is God's voice that is saying, "Do it." You see, I think the first step in listening and obeying God is being able to identify that it's God that's speaking to you. I think the first thing that we need to recognize is that God's voice is something that we have to try to listen to. You say, "Well, no, God will just speak to you." Okay, I'll give you that. God will speak to you. But there's a lot of voices speaking to me. God's just one of them. Do you hear me? Oh, it's not just me. Right? Sure, God speaks to me, but I got to try to listen because I've got this voice speaking and life is loud and I've got my schedule and my agenda and I've got this that I think and this that I think and I'm hearing this plan and this plan. So listen, I've got to try to listen for God's voice. Sure, he's going to speak to me, but I can't hear him because life is loud. So I've got to focus in. I've got to be able to identify his voice. I think we need to seek God because all of us hear a variety of voices speaking to us. And you know, I hear people say this. I listen to this. There's like this little trigger that goes off. It's like a warning thing when somebody says, "God has told me. God has laid on my heart. God is leading me to do this or that." And I hear people today, and watching the news the other day, I was so disturbed because I saw someone who was advocating something God clearly calls wrong in his word. He had clearly said that homosexuality was an abomination in his word. And we could go through verse after verse after verse. And then I heard a pastor, someone who represented God, someone supposed to be speaking for God, and said, "I think God means this." Well, I've read what God means. You've read what God means. So evidently, he didn't recognize God's voice. He was speaking. He's saying, "God is telling us to do this." Now, understand, that's another voice. You say, "Well, surely, let me tell you something. Surely, that's the voice that the world is listening to." If God says it with this voice, he's not going to say it an opposite way. God won't contradict himself. So it's God's voice that we have to listen for. We're going to hear all kinds of other voices. And then I've been around people that said, I think God's leading me to do this and leading me to do that. I think God's leading me to take this job. I know it's going to take me out of church and I'm not going to be here. And so I just know that he wants me to do this because I'm going to prosper. I don't want to break your heart, but God's voice will never take you away from him. God's voice will draw you near him. Well, I think God has told me that, you know, I need to involve my family in this. And listen, the only time they're going to do it is Sunday. Or this is the way God's leading me. Listen, rule of thumb, God will never lead you with his voice away from him. Never. Amen. Hey, we're going to learn a little bit about this voice, right? God's voice will never tell you, let somebody else do it, because you don't want to be involved with that. I mean, unless you're already involved with a lot of things, but if you've sat there and you've said, God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this for you. I don't want to do this for you. That's not his voice. I think we have three different voices that give us an answer to all of our questions. First of all, I think we have the voice of God. It's clear we've spent this time talking about the voice of God. I think we have the voice of God. And then I think we have the voice of our own fleshly desires. I've got that voice. I don't know about you, right? Hey, I'll just preach to me. If it hits you, okay, right? Every time I have a situation where I could do something or not do something, I don't have to think or ask that voice to speak up, right? That voice says, hey, Mike, this will be good for you or it won't be good. Hey, Mike, this will feel good or it won't feel good. Hey, this will profit you or it won't profit you. That voice is always loud, the voice of my fleshly desire, right? Are you hearing yours too, right? So that's a voice that's competing with God's voice, right? Mike, I know this is what you're supposed to do, God's voice. Hey, Mike, you know what? You deserve to do this other thing. You know, let somebody else do this. Hey, do this for yourself. That voice will always want me to satisfy me. And it comes with this justification mechanism, right? Right? We can justify anything we want to do because that voice will help you justify. Then there's a third voice. Ooh, this is the voice of Satan. So you got the voice of God, the voice of our selfish desires, fleshly desires, and the voice of Satan. You say, well, yeah, I could recognize Satan's voice, right? Here's what it sounds like. Here's how it began. Hey, listen, take that apple. You deserve it. And you're good enough. You know, you just need to be better, but God's trying to hold you down. Take that apple. Hey, and look. It looks good, too. Isn't it pleasing to your eye? Smell it. Sniff it. It's good. It's going to taste delicious. Then all of a sudden, after the devil's voice, then the voice of selfish desire comes in and said, yeah, what he said. Look. Hey, listen, Mike. But he didn't say, Mike, listen, Eve. Listen, Adam. Nothing wrong with taking that. God put everything here for you to take. He didn't really mean that. See, after Satan's voice, then comes our voice. He spurs our selfish voice. And that voice comes in and says, hey, you need to take that apple. You've named all these animals. For crying out loud, you're hungry. Get it. Is that what God told them to do? No. You see, in each one of our lives every day, we have several voices speaking to us. The voice of God, the voice of our fleshly desires. John, 1 John 2, puts it this way. It describes the voice of our fleshly desires as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's whatever we want, right? And so those voices compete all day, from big decisions to little ones. I'm standing in line. I'm waiting for my food. And here I go. I'm standing in line. I'm waiting for my food. And somebody breaks in line. The devil says to me, they broke in line. You've been standing here in line. My fleshly desire says, tell them, give them a piece of your mind. You've done this. Hey, chew them out right now. Tell them to get back where they go. And God's voice is saying, hey, I put this person in front of you to witness to. They don't know any better than to break in line. They're really listening to the wrong voice. That's the person I gave you to witness to. Which voice do we usually listen to? That's just a little incident. It gets bigger. This is every day of our life. We hear voices. Right? And since you hear voices and I hear voices, I'm going to tell you the most important thing we can learn today is we need to identify and know the voice of God so we'll know which voice to follow. There are a lot of people, sitting in churches this morning that are not following the voice of God because somebody's misrepresenting it to them. We need to pray for them. You see, I would ask the question and base our whole study in these next couple of weeks on this. How do we determine if the voice that we hear is God's voice or one of these other voices? Here's how. First, number one, God tells us to come to Him. You think this is simple, but it's true. God tells us to come to Him and ask Him if it's Him speaking. You say, oh, give me something deeper. It's not any deeper than that. If Ben were to hear my voice and other voices, you know the easiest way is for him to say, Dad, is that you? And that's the physical picture. But you know what God tells you? Come to Him. Now, when we come to Him and talk to Him and say, God, is this really you leading me? What do we call that act? Prayer, right? Prayer. How many people know about praying? So the first thing that He gives us, the first vehicle to understand if that's God's voice, first thing is prayer. God tells us, come to Him, ask Him if it's Him speaking, ask Him directly what to do. Not just assume that the answer is going to come to us like we do so many times. Remember, we have other voices screaming to us. Those voices are loud. We take things to God sometimes, but we don't seek Him. We call it praying, but praying is not just coming to God, asking Him to help us. Prayer is listening to God. Praying is a conversation that requires us to come to God and seek Him, not just leave it on His doorstep, ask Him to handle it. We do that with prayer a lot, right? Okay, God, here's my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, my wife, my kids. Here's this, that. Here's my problem with work. Here's a problem with this. Here's a problem with that. Here's my financial problem. Here's that. Thank you. Amen. Right? Left it on His doorstep. How's that conversation? Not too good, right? Was it a conversation? No, it was all me. It was talking to Him. We tend to do that, don't we? How do I know it's what God wants me to do? Well, I need to have a conversation with Him. So many times, here's what we do. We get in such a hurry in life that we sit down, even when we do pray, we go through our list of prayer, and then when we get through praying, we're thinking, okay, is that everybody? And then as soon as we do that, subconsciously, we're getting up, we're standing up to move back well on our day. We've asked Him something. We've asked Him to help. We've asked Him to answer. But we don't even stay for the answer. We don't even stay for the answer. How rude is that? You know people like that. They come up to you and they talk to you. They just want to say what they want to say. And you can see it. They're listening to you. And they're like getting ready to say what they just want to say. What they want to say. I can't stand talking to people like that. Can you? If it's a conversation, you speak, I'll speak. You speak, I'll speak. You speak, I'll speak. We've had a conversation, right? But how many times do I come to God? I've never even been courteous enough to sit there and say, God, speak to me. I'm quiet. I've just poured my heart out to You. I really mean it. Reveal something to me in my heart. I believe the reason we don't get a lot of prayers answered is we get up too early. We get up too early from our prayer, and I'm just assuming you're kneeling to pray. You've got a spot to pray. I'm just saying. Our mind goes somewhere else too quick. God, speak to me. Hey, and we're talking to somebody else. We're listening to one of those other voices. That's not prayer. We have to seek His response. 2 Chronicles 7:14. God was telling Solomon to tell them how to pray. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. God was telling Solomon, here's how I want to hear you. Come to me and speak to me. They were dedicating the temple. He was saying, this is how to use the temple. Well, Jesus Christ lives in your body. The body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So this is how He wants us to come to Him, the same way. God says, if we're His and we come to Him humbly, seeking God's answer, seeking His will, and we come to Him with a repentant heart, then He will hear and forgive and answer. Hey, that's the way to get our questions answered, right? How many of us are looking for answers from God, but all we're doing is giving a drive-through prayer? Drive-through prayer. I'm in the middle of this. I'm in the middle of that. Hold on. I have a cheeseburger, fries, and a Coke, right? That's what we do. We get through. We're back on our conversation. Can you tell me what color hair the person that gave you the food had? No. No, why? Well, because I was thinking what I wanted to order. And then I was thinking what I need to be doing. Then I was talking to this other person. How do you expect me? Well, that's the person you had the conversation with. And we do God the same way. We're giving drive-through prayers every day. We're coming. Hey, here's my list. Hey, can I pick it up at this certain time? I'm busy. I'm late. I can't stay to talk. I'll be back tomorrow at the same time. How do we expect to get our questions answered? How long have we done God this way? You see, he says we're supposed to humbly come to him. That means I'm broken. God, I don't have the answer. And be repentant. God, I'm sorry. I listened to all these other voices. I'm sorry. Your voice was there, but I didn't seek to hear it. The other things just seemed like they would work out so much better for me. I didn't listen to yours. I didn't recognize it. My world was too loud. I'm praying to you. I'm seeking your face. I'm seeking what you want to tell me. I want to hear your voice, God. I'm going to stop doing those things that I know are sin. Those things, the voices. And then God says, well, Mike, I forgive you. What do you have that you want to ask me? What answer do you want? What do I need to reveal to you? Glory to God. You see, God wants us to have a face-to-face talk. He wants us to recognize, hey, that's clearly God. You see, there's an amount of peace that comes with knowing you're talking to God. Peace. That's how he answers prayer. You see, it seems so obvious. So obvious that we seem to forget that we can talk to him and we can ask him this: God, please be the loudest voice that speaks to me today. Whew. Think that would be hard for God to do? Are you struggling with all these voices? That voice of selfish fleshly desire, that's a big one. The devil wants it to be so loud. It'll help you justify and convince you to follow that voice. But I'm praying to God, God, be the loudest voice to me today. Stand out above all those other voices. You see, I need to be listening to him. You need to be listening to him and not just speaking to him. And if you have sin or disobedience in your life, we need to repent of it. But the reason is this allows us to be on speaking terms with God. When I say speaking terms, have you ever had somebody that you're not really on speaking terms with? Oh, I know, but we're not on speaking terms. When we come to God sincerely, not in a hurry, we bow before him with a repentant heart, we ask him to lead us, guide us, help us, then his voice will be the loudest voice that you hear. It'll be the voice of peace. And when you don't obey his voice and you're his child, you know that thing that keeps on bugging you? No matter how good of a reason you have, but every time you do it, you still have something that says, hey, I wonder if this is wrong. I wonder if this is wrong. I wonder if this is wrong. That's the voice of God just trying to get through. Because if it's not wrong, he'll give you peace. See, that's the mojo prayer. That's what I call it. My children, when they come to me and they're at a dilemma, and they know what we're going to pray. What are we going to pray? We're going to pray the mojo prayer. What's the mojo prayer? It's this: God, if this is what I'm supposed to do, I want you to give me such a great peace about this. But if it's not what I'm supposed to do, I want you to bother me. I want you to keep me up. I want you to make my stomach upset. I want you to let me be nervous all day. I want you to let me be full of anxiety. If you're coming to God asking him, what you're doing is saying, God, let your voice be loud. You got to be ready to go through the other. You got to find out what the wrong way is to get the right way, but that's the prayer. And all you're simply doing is saying, God, please speak louder than these other voices that are speaking to me. But to do all this, it takes time to seek his voice. It takes time to recognize the voice of God that's wanting to lead us, wanting to talk to us, wanting to help us, give us peace. I think about a song, and I was thinking about it the other day. I told Miss Vicky this morning, this song was on my heart. I can't go back and change any day of my life, any week of my life, any month of my life, but Listen, I don't deserve to be preaching to you guys. I've disobeyed God's voice before. I've listened to those other voices. I've went so far down the path I didn't think I was going to get back. But God is merciful. Amen. His grace is amazing. He gave me an opportunity. So I'm thankful for it. But I sit back and think. And this song, when I heard it that day, it just illuminated like the whole truck. And I went back and thinking, this was me. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. How much peace have I forfeited? How much needless pain because I didn't look to Him and recognize His voice. And what about you? You see, for us to clearly hear the voice of God, the first thing we have to do is we have to get in order our prayer life. Now, if our prayer life is not in order, then God's voice will be drowned out in our lives by the other voices that are trying to lead us the wrong way. So I would urge you to make sure that you're on speaking terms with God. I mean, when's the last time that you and God had a great prayer? You sat and listened for His answer. You say, well, God's not going to speak to me in that loud voice, right? He's going to speak to you in a small, still voice. That's why you need to stay there. He's going to reveal it to your heart and your mind. You're not going to learn it when you go back and chase whatever it is the other voices are telling you to chase. And if you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, maybe you're not sure. Listen, you can't have that conversation with God yet until you have the first conversation. Remember, conversation is when someone speaks and someone gives a response. Now here's what He says. This is the voice of Jesus. Come to me. Come to me. I read in Revelation 3:20, this is a picture of Jesus. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, listen to this, hear my voice, I will come into him. I will sup with him and he with me. That's Jesus saying, I will stand at every person's heart's door and knock. Any man that hears my voice, what does that voice do? The voice of Jesus calls you, compels you to come to him because you can't get to God unless you go through Jesus. You can't get to God by learning enough about God. You can't get to God because you've passed some class in church. You can't get to God because mom, grandmom, granddad got to God. You get to God through Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He stands at your door, at my door, and you have to answer that voice first and say, here I am. I'm sorry. I am a sinner. I believe that you died for me. I accept what you did. Save me. Be my Savior. That's salvation. And then after that, you have the ability to have a conversation with God. We know that, right? Are we taking advantage of recognizing God's voice then? For everybody that is saved, are you? If you're saved, what you need to do is come today and ask Him to speak to you above these other voices. Maybe His voice has just been one of the voices. He asks you to come. If you know today that you never accepted Jesus as your Savior, then His voice today, well, it says come also. You see, God's voice will always draw you to Him. But with that, man, the benefits. What did He say in Deuteronomy? I will bless you if you hearken unto my voice. Well, I asked you at the beginning, how many people wanted blessings in your life? How many people wanted answers? How many people wanted directions? It's pretty simple. Hearken unto His voice. You say, that is simple. Well, it is if you can recognize His voice. Knowing God's voice. That's the most important thing that you can leave here today. Ask yourself, do I know it like I should know it? If you don't know it, come and talk to Him. Get back acquainted to Him. Pray with me. Father God, I love You. I praise You. I thank You for this day. I thank You for how good You are to us, Lord, for just allowing us to be able to come into Your presence and worship. I thank You, God, for Your message today. I thank You that You find us where we're at. And Lord, I know You want to have fellowship with us. So today, Lord, I just pray. I pray if there's anyone that's here that has never accepted Your Son Jesus as their Savior, Lord, they know about you. They believe in you, but they've never come to you through Jesus. They never asked for your salvation. I pray, God, today that you would whisper to them in that voice, knock on their heart's door. Let them see, God, that you're compelling them to come, that it's your voice, and that that voice is battling against all those other voices that tell them not to come. Let your voice be loud today. And I pray, God, today for every Christian in this room. Lord, you know us. We get distracted. Our lives get loud. And we began to listen to all kind of voices. God, as prayers are lifted up all over this room today, Lord, as we repent for listening to other voices and you restore relationships, I pray, God, the mighty movement in this room today in restoring your relationship with your children. Show us ourselves today. In Jesus' name, amen.